Hi, everybody. This is the Ramble Redhead Show, and I'd like to welcome you to today's episode. We have a gentleman by the name of Matt Blender, who is a fellow podcaster, and he does a show by the name of OK So Radio, and you can find that at oksoradio.libsyn.com. And without any further ado, I'd like to welcome Mr. Matt to the program. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Hey, good. Thanks.
Well, great. Well, I just want to welcome you to the show, and I've been a big fan of your program, but I have to be honest, I'm a little bit behind on your show. But I wanted to tell my listeners about your show because I heard about it a long time ago, and I started listening, and of course, I got addicted to it because of certain thing that happened to you, and I was just wondering, before we get into all that, I was wondering if you could tell a little bit about the show and, you know, what the whole basis of it is, and to tell the audience so they know a little bit about you.
Sure. I guess it's just an audio blog that I tape, you know, a few times a week, and I just talk about what's going on with my life. Sometimes I do shows where I have guests on, like people I know in my life, like my friends, or once in a while I have other podcasters on my show, and sometimes I'll read stuff that I write because I'm also a writer.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been bad about that lately, but hopefully I'll be starting that up again soon, reading my new stuff.
Okay, good. Yeah, I enjoyed a lot of your stuff as well, and I, you know, people who like the more personal blogs, obviously Matt's OK So Radio show is going to be definitely one you want to add to the list, because it, like I said, it's very good, and listening to his story, and especially the very beginning. If you're going to do this, go back all the way to the very beginning to get a full appreciation of the show and how it all started, so you can see how it's progressed through the period of time. And now he's up to episode 71, so you got a lot of work ahead of you, but it's definitely worth the effort. And well, before we get into more about the show, what I'd like to do is get a little history about you. And I understand that you were born in Michigan. Is that right?
That is correct. The Motor City.
The Motor City. Okay, great. How old were you when you started to realize that you were gay?
Birth.
You realized you were gay at birth?
Oh yeah. Like I remember being, you know, 3 years old, and or however old it is when you start to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being in church and having a crush on Jesus because there was this big, huge statue of a shirtless man. And I was like, who's that? And yeah, always.
Wow. Okay, great. Now, when did you, you know, finally really come to terms with it as far as, yeah, this is what I am as a person?
Like I said, I've always known, and it was more a matter of reconciling myself with that. Like, all through high school, I was really awkward and overweight, and, you know, my sexuality wasn't something I ever really had to deal with, because I didn't have any attention from anyone anyways, so it was more when I, moved from home and moved to Chicago and, you know, lived on my own for the first time. And that's when I really started dealing with it, I guess you could say. And I got involved with my gay group in college and made gay friends and all that, you know. Boys Town became like my own little playground. And yeah, now I'm gay as the Dickens. So.
So, were you out at during high school at all?
No. I was right before this whole like trend going on where it's like the cool new thing to be. It's like the cool thing to be gay.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, little like middle schoolers coming out and stuff. I actually only had one person in my grade who was actually out, and you know, since then I've heard of other people, aside from me, coming out. But when we were in high school, it was very taboo. And I should probably mention, too, that I've gone to Catholic school for a long time. Like, you know, I went to Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, and my college was Catholic, but it was a Jesuit school, so, you know, it's a little different. But, yeah, I feel like I'm rambling. Rambling on the Ramble Redhead.
Oh. Yeah, well, that's what the show's all about. Getting people to talk. Okay. Well, okay, so let me ask you this question. So how old... Well, let me ask you, how old are you now?
I'm 25, and I'm turning 26 at the end of March.
Okay, great.
Yeah, my birthday is actually the day after Madge Weinstein's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting company, huh?
Yeah, and I share a birthday with Amy Sedaris, March 29th.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So make sure you send Matt a great birthday email card or something to him on that day. Let's bombard him with cards. Okay. Okay. So how old were you when you like came to terms with telling people like let's say your parents?
I still haven't. That's a long story, but I haven't really had that discussion with my parents yet.
Okay. Well, I remember on another podcast you brought that up about how. I mean, if I'm saying this wrong, you know, please correct me. But I thought you kind of said that you're. With your family, it's kind of like the military. It's like a don't ask, don't tell type thing. Okay, we're getting a little Skypey, so if you could reply to that again, please.
Yeah, that was on Archer's show when I said that.
Okay, that's what I thought. And hey to Archer while we're on that topic. Because I love his show, and I love being on the show, and I know that you've been on quite a few, and I really enjoy when we do all those gangbang shows. It was quite interesting to find out what Archer likes to do when it comes to butt munching, but
I need to listen to that show. I still haven't heard it yet.
Okay, well, I'm not going to tell you, but it's one of the funniest shows. And if anyone is new listening to my show that has not who doesn't know what Archer Radio is, you have to go to Archer Radio on iTunes, download all of his shows, but definitely download the butt munching show. It is one of the funniest shows I've listened to in a long, long time. So definitely check that one out. Okay, I was just curious knowing that you're a younger guy, you're 25 years old, soon to be 26, and I was just wondering, because that, for me, that is an issue that I kind of wanted to talk about, I want to get more perspective on, and I definitely want to hear your side of it, is that as far as the fact that, you know, you haven't, well, I mean, do you, your parents, they know, but it's just something that you don't want to discuss? Or is it on their end, or is it more your end, or what would you say?
You know, it's not really something I like talking about because it's personal, but...
Right. Okay.
I come from a very... Huh?
No, go ahead. You're coming from a very what?
I come from a very, very conservative Catholic background.
Right.
And, you know, it's something that homosexuality is something that I think my family very much opposes.
Right.
And I have gay relatives that are treated differently. And I know for sure sooner or later it's going to be an issue that I'm going to address with my family, specifically my parents. But, you know, it's just the time has not come up yet. More or less. I don't know. You know, it's like choosing my own battles, and when I have someone in my life that I want to bring home, then we'll have that discussion. And when I'm on more stable ground financially, you know, my parents don't really help me out anymore with that, but, you know, I don't know. It's complicated, but,
Okay, well, I understand, and I mean, yeah, go. I mean, if you want to go on, go ahead. But I just want to, you know, I know if it's something that you want to keep more private, I understand that too. It's just that because I had this conversation with, you know, another podcaster who might, I don't know if you know him personally, but you probably heard of him. But it's John Michael Hawes of the Daily Purge, and
see them all the time.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I see the Daily Purge guys around town all the time.
Oh, okay. Well, see, one thing that I thought was very interesting when I interviewed him is that he kind of had the same, you know, feelings that you do. And one of the things that I said to him, I said, you know, and I guess it kind of was before, the, you know, your, you know, what you had mentioned. But one of the things I thought was very interesting was that he said that he felt that it kind of was the don't ask, don't tell type thing, and that when he goes home, it's not talked about. You know, and I personally feel that, you know, that as a gay person who you know, I feel that it's kind of like hindering yourself, and you're like, it's like stating that like you're ashamed of who you are, and it's not. But the thing is that in order for things to change, you have to be willing to talk about it. And I have to tell you, from my personal experience, my family was the same way. That my mom had a lot of comments about gay people. Like when I was younger, I remember her making a comment like, "There's a gay character on the TV." She'd go, "Ooh," you know. And then finally, when I came out, or finally she came to terms with it, that it took a long time before it got to the point where she could, accept it. Now the fact is that now I'm very open and I'm very honest about, my feelings and, my new boyfriend. And he, every time we do anything, he's automatically there. And if they don't like it, it's kind of in the tough department. And the thing that I found amazing now, and just to show you the transformation, is that she went from being, to... now she cuts out articles of the newspapers or magazines that, I found this great article. Maybe it might be something you might want to interview for a podcast. So, it went from one extreme to the other. And I know that there's certain families out there and the dynamics out there that, unfortunately, you can't be honest. And like you said, hopefully with time, and then when you do meet that significant other, and, the key thing is that, you can be more open and you can be honest and, and not quote-unquote be – and don't take that term wrong, but be ashamed of who you are as a person. Because I think that, a normal mom and dad would not see that and would not, hate their child because of their gay. But the sad reality is that it does happen. And I certainly understand that, you don't want to upset the family dynamic. You don't want to change it. But on the other hand, I think it's important that you need to be honest with not only yourself, but also with your family. And I guess that's kind of the reason why I do my show, is because I want to get the voices out there. I want to get people to understand, because I've talked to one gentleman who didn't come out until he was 39 years old. And the only reason he came out was because his mom and dad were both sick, and he gave up his job as he was a gospel singer. And so he had another type of story behind that and why he waited, and because he would have lost his career. And so it was amazing story. And I just find it amazing how each person has their own little story in the process, and that's why I love talking to people on the show, to get them out and talk about it.
But
I was just wondering what...
For other people that have been on your show, but as far as shame, on my own show, with the people that I meet every day, I'm very active in my community, and, it's just my parents and... My one grandparent, and I don't care if anybody else knows, and
okay,
it's just even a matter of it's more a matter of when they're going to know, as opposed to just like not telling them indefinitely, which is not my plan at at all.
Yeah,
because it's going to be a bridge that I'm going to cross probably sooner rather than later, but right. The time hasn't come up yet. Yeah. Pretty much.
Well, see, again, I apologize if I use the wrong term. It's just that, I don't mean to say ashamed. It's just that, because I have another good friend whose partner, he's, an older gentleman, and the thing is that he's not out to his family either. I just feel like he's, like, hiding himself and not letting himself be free. And I have to tell you that when I did it, when several of my friends did it, when people I've interviewed for my show have done it, it's like this big, huge... a weight is off your shoulders, and I mean, it's just amazing. And I don't know. I guess since I waited a little long myself, that I just don't want anybody else to have to go through that. So, but again, I think I'll get off that bandwagon. But let's get on to another topic. But okay, so you were in Michigan, and then you made the. Now, did you go to school in college in Michigan, or did you do that in Chicago?
I actually started my college career in Michigan at a community college, and I transferred to Loyola University my junior year, and I finished up my degree in Chicago, and I've stayed there since then.
Okay. Well, cool. And what was your course of study?
I studied English, and I have a concentration in creative writing.
Okay, great. Have you had anything published at all?
Not really. I was involved with the literary magazine, and that doesn't down, in my opinion. But, okay. Yeah, you know, that's one of the things I keep in trying to do is, you know, sending out my stuff to publishers, but I haven't quite gotten around to that yet.
Cool. Well, I really wish you the best, because I really think that you should, because, you know, a lot of the stories that I have heard on the show I thought were very good and, you know, very creative in the way you write. And I think that's what I love about the creative process, no matter what it is. I just think it's amazing how people are able to, you know, pull things out of the, you know, their imaginations and just, you know, really have a great story. And so I think it's really good. I think, you know, definitely do whatever you can to encourage that and, you know, and keep writing that. Because, you know, I mean, I think eventually, you know, get you where you want to be, like be a published author. And I think it's really awesome. So how old were you when they make that big move to Chicago then? How long has it been?
It was 5 years ago. I moved here when I was 21 years old.
Wow. And I was just curious, what made you decide to go to Chicago?
For a really long time, I wanted to move to this city. And, you know, I've always loved this city. And I think moving here has been the best thing I've ever done for myself. And I have no intention of going anywhere, so, you know, mm-hmm. Hopefully, you know, my bones will be buried in Chicago because I love this city. I think it's great.
Well, what attracted Chicago to you so much? I mean, what in particular? Was it anything in particular?
I think that, you know, I'm more of a big city kind of person, and Chicago just has this kind of energy and this feel to it that really appealed to me at a really young age, and it's got everything that you know, it's kind of got, it's like New York, but with more of a Midwestern flavor, so
mm-hmm.
I think it's the city for me, I think.
Now, did you know friends or family here at all in Chicago area?
There's actually been a lot of people from my high school that ended up over here, but no one really that I was really close to. And I hadn't talked to any of them in a while, so I pretty much moved here all on my own. Wow. Which was funny, because my very first day here, my parents left me in my dorm room, and I was by myself, and I started crying because I was like, it finally hit me, and I was like, what did I do to myself? I moved to this city, and I don't know anyone.
Right.
So I had a freak out moment that first day, but it's more or less worked out since then.
Well, that's good. Well, see, that's one thing I also find amazing is that when people who, you know, live in one spot of the country and then they decide, well, I'm going to move to the, you know, totally different area. I mean, granted, you were, you know, a state away, but the thing is that still, that is a big move. That's a big step to take that mm-hmm. challenge, and that's one of the things that I find amazing with people, because there's a lot of people, like they say, that, you know, that majority of them, you know, in the United States, they do not move more than 50 miles away from where they were born.
I believe that,
and,
for sure.
And it's just amazing that when people take that chance to move to a big city or, you know, that kind of thing, to be able to, you know, take that challenge. And so, obviously, you got to give yourself credit for that. Yep. You know, and obviously, you love the city and you developed your friends and all that, and it's grown to be, you know, a great place for you to live. And because I love Chicago. I mean, I live an hour and a half away from it, and when I have to go there for work, I, you know, every part of it, no matter whether it's, you know, downtown or in the burbs or, you know, whatever, there's always something that you can do. I mean, it's just amazing. And the sure. entertainment and Boys Town and, you know, and all that. I mean, it's just incredible. So do you live in what part of Chicago do you live? I mean, if you can, city-wise, can you tell us?
I live on the northwest side in a very, very boring neighborhood called Irving Park.
Okay.
Old Irving Park, to be more specific. It's kind of near Wicker Park. It's kind of between Wicker Park and Boys Town, Wrigleyville area.
Okay, so it's not far from the gay mecca of the world, right?
No, it's like a 15-minute bus ride.
Well, that's cool. Cool.
Yeah, it is.
Was that one of your motivations about, you know, being in that area? I mean, since it is close to the gay area?
A little bit. The place that I'm living right now just looked really nice from when I came to look at it, and the fact that it was so close to where I like to spend the majority of my free time was just about added bonus, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I would actually, I'm hoping to move to Boys Town eventually.
Well, good.
Yeah.
So I was just curious, what was the, once you made that big move then, you know, what was the next step in your life? What was that like?
You mean in terms of college or...
College, work, friends, boyfriends, or, you know, anything like that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, I think that my college experience was definitely a big growth experience, because I think that in a lot of respects I was not ready to be on my own. I don't think anyone really is, but I just had to learn a lot and learn how to deal with the world, you know, being on my own, mm-hmm. figuring out who I was, what I wanted, where I fit in the world. I'm still doing a lot of that right now, but those first few years were really hard. Because when I moved to the city, I was actually, this is embarrassing, but I was really overweight too. Like, I'm overweight now, but, you know, there was a time when I weighed a lot, and I eventually lost a lot of weight, and that was part of my whole process of, you know, figuring out what I wanted out of life, I guess.
How much did you lose?
About 80 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, I've put some of that back on since then, but, you know.
So what was your, there's always... what was your big weight loss solution? I mean, what did you do to lose all that?
I joined Weight Watchers, and I started working out at my gym at my school.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the two things
wow.
that out.
That's cool.
Well, you know, eating right, glad. It really felt like once I really worked at it, the weight just came right off. You know, it's just a matter of being in the right place and having the right mentality.
Right. Well, I mean, that's one of the biggest things in life, you know, no matter what it is, whether it's school or weight loss or, you know, learning a language, whatever, you know, you got to take the steps to, you know, and eventually you're going to get to the goal. But the key thing is you just keep maintaining and keep steady and keep trying, because that's one of the things that I, because I did the same thing a couple of years ago. I was 215 pounds. You know, I just looked and I saw this one picture mm-hmm. of myself, and I said, wow, if I don't lose weight, I'm going to be just as bad or big as this other guy that was in the picture. And then it really slapped me awake, and I was like, wow. You know, and then in that year, I lost 30 pounds, and I've been able to basically maintain ever since. So it's been amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah. So obviously, I mean, you did even better than that. I mean, 80 pounds, I mean, that's a huge number. So that's
yeah.
really cool.
And, process, though. It was, you know, and I had my bad spells too, but
oh, sure.
I kept at it.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, I love telling this story to people, because one time I was downtown Chicago, I was at the Bennigan's, it's right downtown, and I walked in, and this server came up to the table, and she said, what would you like to order? And I said, I want the salmon, the vegetables, and a glass of water. And she goes, ugh! I said, what? And she goes, oh, that's too healthy. That's disgusting, you know? And then I remember walking out of the restaurant, and I walked out, and there was this guy who was big, built, muscles. I mean, you know, great physique. I mean, he was hot, and I'll never forget that. And then I remember him, and I looked down to see what he was eating. He was drinking the water, had the salmon, and had the vegetables, and he had that look on his face like, oh, this is awful. but he knew he made a healthier choice. And so I always love telling that story, because that's what it seems to be like right now. Everybody is like, oh, why do you want to be healthy? Just eat the fat stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's crazy. It's crazy! Okay, so you moved to Chicago. Uh-huh. You lost the weight. You finished college.
Yeah.
So what was the next
Barely.
Step? Barely. Okay. What was the next thing that happened to you?
After graduation, it was pretty much an extended period of crying and not sleeping. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, graduation, like, dealing, being in the real world is tough. And I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do with the rest of my life. And I was doing well for a while, where I was doing work, the kind of work that I wanted to be doing with my degree, and I kind of fell out of that, and I fell into this downward spiral of temping, and you know, right now I'm figuring out what my next move is going to be career wise. So, yeah.
So what are you doing now that you talked about earlier?
Now I am on my fourth temp job, and hopefully it will be my last temp job, because I've had four different temp jobs within the last year, and right now I work at a call center. So people call me from all around the country with questions about our products, or they want to, you know, take one of our classes or whatever.
Can you tell
the company, which I will not name?
Oh, okay. I was going to say, can you tell us who it is?
So, once you stop recording.
You what?
I can tell you once we stop recording.
Oh, okay. It's top secret.
It's not anything exciting anyways.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Well, one of the things that I also wanted to get into, obviously, that I think it's important, because I think that, you know, it's also curious, because I was just wondering, what made you decide to do your own podcast?
Yeah, you know, I think that I was very familiar with podcasting and the podcast world, and I was listening to a lot of podcasts, mm-hmm. and I always thought that I wanted to do my own, but I kept putting it off for one reason or another until finally something so bad happened to me that I felt like if I don't start podcasting now, like, there's just, I just might as well not ever do it. So I got mugged and beat up that last May, and I started podcasting to talk about that experience, and it's, you know, I've kept on doing it since then, and it's kind of, you know, I gained momentum, and I'm still going strong. So,
well, good.
With the podcasting, yeah.
Well, I mean, because again, that is what, you know, totally grabbed me. Because I don't even remember how I heard about your show, but I just remember downloading the show, and I remember driving, and I think I was heading toward Chicago, and I just remember you started talking about it, and I was just like, oh my God, you know, and it just really grabbed me about what had happened to you, and obviously, you know, it's tragic, and I'm thankful that, you know, again, that you're okay. But the thing is that for the new listeners who don't know, I mean, you obviously went through a very horrific, scary time, and I know you probably don't want to dwell on it a lot, but the thing is that something negative end up creating something that positive, you know, the podcast, and, you know, you're reaching a lot of people, and you're telling about your story, and, you know, people, you know, in different ways can relate to what you say and talk about, And I was just wondering, at that time when you recorded that, was that the night of that happened, or was it close afterwards, the first episode?
I got beat up at 2 a.m. on a Saturday morning. I had to go to the hospital. I had to file a police report. And that the next Sunday, I got home, and I taped my first podcast talking about what happened. Because at the very least, if I never even figured out, because, you know, I'm still bad with the technical stuff. I figured if I never figured out how to post all of it online, at least I would have that one MP3 to save for posterity,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it was, I guess it was technically the day of, but I consider it more the day after.
Right.
You know?
I mean, it's just amazing that you, I mean, because there's a lot of things, like, I mean, I just tell you my point of view is that when I record my show, I mean, there's a lot of times, mm-hmm. there's a lot of topics that I want to talk about, but then for some reason, mm-hmm. I hold myself back and I don't do it, you know, and I don't put it out there, or it comes up in another way. And, but I was just wondering, you know, I mean, why was that the beginning of that show? I mean, why was this topic or this things so important for you?
I think at the time it was such a profound thing to go through, where I literally, you know, I almost died, and
yeah,
you know, to die at the hands of someone else is just really just totally bent my perception about everything. And I feel like doing the podcast was one of the ways that really helped me deal with what happened, and it felt kind of comforting in a way to voice what was going on in my own mind and also to share that with other people.
Mm-hmm.
The nature of podcasting is, you know, there's an element of self-indulgence involved, but I just felt like if I didn't talk about it, I would go crazy, you know, because it was a really hard experience.
Right.
Yeah. And I just felt like that. Going through it, like the circumstances, everything about it was just so crazy, and I just still to this day I don't totally understand, you know, the mechanics of that night. But it was just crazy, you know, like
I mean, it's really a sad reality in that, you know, something. I mean, just because I think things happen for a reason, and the coincidences and the things like that, that you had to be there at that moment, and unfortunately the perpetrators did, you know, and, you know, why'd they pick you, and, you know, and that kind of thing. I'm sure you're probably second-guessing yourself all the time. But the thing is that I think that, obviously, that, you know, as they always say, life teaches you lessons, and what you do with that lesson and how you're able to turn something, you know, negative into something positive, you know, and in life, for example, you've been very involved with the community, you've done a lot of things, you've done your podcast, you speak about these type of things, and I think it's really important to be able to share those, and like kind of like with my show, as well as Archer and a lot of other people, is that, you know, you think that this is just a show where you're talking, but the thing is, there's somebody out there that is listening that could have gone through the same thing or can relate to you and what you're saying, and then be able to do something, you know, positive about it. I mean, like,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know,
the one quality about my fellow podcasters that I really admire more than anything across the board with Madge Weinstein, with you, which, you know, with Wanda, mm-hmm. is that, you know, the degree of honesty that a podcaster has with the whoever might listen is what I really admire more than anything personally.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a place for these, like, scripted kind of shows. I don't know if that makes any sense, but the people that share their experiences in a, you know, brave kind of way, those are the people that I really admire and, you know, that I look up to personally.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, to give you an example of one that really touched me today was Adam from This Boy Elroy. I mean, he talked today,
yeah.
or his latest show. I don't know if it was today's show, but the latest show. I'm sorry?
He posted that a few days ago.
Yeah, it was about his brother. And, you know, for the listeners, unfortunately, Adam's brother had died of complications with AIDS, and he talked about the anniversary of his brother's death and how touching it was. And I mean, it really, you know, it touched me, and also it kind of choked me up, because I can relate, because I'm going to be talking about a family member that I had unfortunately lost due to, you know, to something happening. And I'll be talking about that in a future show as I get closer to that actual date. But I mean, I really could relate.
That's a really good example, because Adam is a friend of mine, and that's why podcasting is such a great medium, I think, is because it gives us a platform to share our stories. And, you know, if it weren't for podcasting, I would have never, you know, heard stories like Adam's, where, like, I don't know, I feel like my life is better for hearing about stuff like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like, we can create our own dialogue without having to, you know, having, like, bare asses and math everywhere or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And see, a year and a half ago, or probably a little more, probably closer to 2 years, that I knew nothing about podcasting. I didn't know anything about it. And then all of a sudden I started hearing about on iTunes and how they're going to start adding them. And I'm like, wow, you know. And then I listened to Wanda and the Feast of Fools and Madge and all of them. And then all of a sudden it just snowballed. And then I remember that infamous show with Wanda where she said, hey, if you feel you have a unique voice, you know, then you share it. And mm-hmm. then I did, and, you know, my show has had a big transformation from what I very, very first show to what it is today. And I cannot tell Wanda how much I'm grateful for what she did for me, because I've met some truly wonderful people and I've been on other people's shows. I've talked to some amazing people that have been on my show, and I've developed some wonderful friends in the podcasting world. And so I have no regrets whatsoever about this, and I wish that if anything, I wish I could have done it sooner, because there's so many stories that I would love to have talked about that had happened to me before, and I might still do it, but it's just been an amazing experience. And I was just wondering, would you say that the same for you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And, definitely.
And unfortunately, I mean, you got lucky enough, you got to meet Wanda when they had the bowling thing a while ago, and
I did.
And that's your photo on the on Skype that I like. But I just wish I could have one of those photos with Wanda. But I'm hoping that maybe one of these days I'll get to meet her. But she's an amazing person. So
she is.
Yeah. Well, I was just wondering, do you have anything else that you'd like to share about the podcasting world? I mean, anything else you'd like to, or I'm just curious, do you have any other podcasts other than the ones we've already talked about? I was just wondering, are there any others out there that you would recommend?
Oh, now you have to put me...
put you on the spot. Okay.
Get me in trouble.
Yeah, because you'll say something.
You know, whatever, like... GNS, Explosion, Madge Weinstein, your show, Wanda's show, This Boy Elroy, JT Online, those are all the ones that I listen to. Mikey Pod.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the ones that are near and dear to my heart.
Well, good. Yeah. Well, thank you for adding mine to the list. I appreciate it.
Of course.
Of course. Well, I was just wondering before we get going, because I know that we're going to be getting close to getting where we need to end.
Veronica Mars time.
Yeah, you got to get your show. But I was just wondering if you could, again, tell our lovely listeners about your show and where they can find it.
The address is okayso.radio.com, and it's me. Madge Weinstein described it as me telling my pathetic yet funny stories or something, I think she said. Yeah, it's just me talking about my life, whatever. It's not a big deal. I don't know. Some people like it. You might too. I don't know. I can't plug myself for shit.
Oh, come on.
It's great. You'll love it. Check it out.
There you go. Come on. Oh, I got to tell you one thing, because you know, sometimes you talk about things and sometimes it can be a little bit on the... you know, negative. And I got a joke for I want to tell you is that one day I had a really bad day and it was just really awful, and I'm talking to my mom and I'm like, Mom, you know, I can't believe this happened and this happened and this happened. And she's like, oh, it'll be okay. It's going to get better. You got to be more positive. And so I said, okay, Mom, I'm positive my day sucks, you know. And then she just busts up laughing and she's like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do about you. So sometimes when I listen to your show, I want to say the same thing to you, man. but you know,
into that kind of,
you what?
Working on it. I'm trying not to be so negative.
Okay, good. Because I really think that you really got to turn that around. You know, flip it over, and you know, and I think in the long run things will get better for you, and you just got to believe that. And you're going to meet that special guy, and you're going to have that good job, and you're going to make the more money.
I know it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, 2007 is my year.
All right. Well, that's good. Well, Matt, before you go, you have to answer the one infamous question I always add at the end of the show. And what that is that obviously the show is being listened to by a lot of people and a lot of, you know, maybe younger people. And I was just looking at over your life, even though you're not that old. But I was just wondering if you could say anything to the younger gay generation, and wanted to give them a bit of advice. I was just wondering, what would that be?
Well, younger Jays, I would like to tell you all that, seriously, looking back on my own experiences, I worried way too much about what other people would think about me, and just be yourself. And you know, high school sucks, but it's only 4 years, and once you're done, you can, you know, screw around in college or whatever. And yeah, seriously, like, don't worry about assholes, because they're just gonna, you know, grow up to be white trash anyways.
Right.
I speak from experience.
Well, that's good. Well, I appreciate, you know, that, you know, the great answer, because obviously that is one thing that I'm always trying to tell people, to just to, you know, to look at themselves and be true to themselves and not be ashamed of who they are, because there's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, you're a wonderful part of this world and part of this community, and that we want you to continue to be happy and grow and be successful. So, well, Matt, I just want to tell you I really, really appreciate you being on the show. I've been wanting to get you on the show for quite some time. And
no, I'm elusive, like the white panther.
Yeah.
Or the snow leopard.
And I'm just glad that you finally made it. And I want people again to check out your show, OK So Radio, and make sure you listen to it on a regular basis. And go back as far as you can and give it a shot. Because I really think that the first few shows are just amazing, and it's so honest and really true. And I mean, it's amazing stuff, and I just want people to check it out. And also, I'd love, or if you could do me a big favor, if you go to RambleRedhead.com, leave a comment about this show as well as any of the other shows that you've listened to, as you should be. Also, if you'd like to, you can email me at RambleRedhead@gmail.com, and I would encourage all of you to please do so, because nothing makes me happier when I look at my email and I find tons of emails from listeners who give me their feedback, whether it's good, bad, or ugly.
Me too.
And, email Matt, too. Also, I would like for you to do, if you could do me a favor, for both of us, because we're podcasting whores and we like to give positive reinforcement, and we'd love to get some great reviews on iTunes, because the more reviews, more positive reviews, the more times we get featured. And my show is actually on the featured page, along with Archer and Michael from his show in Connecticut, and John.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was on the Society and Culture page. There was a featured section, and all of us.
Are you kidding me?
Huh?
I didn't even know they had that.
Yeah, you go to ours. I put it in my show in the personal journals, like with Archer and with Michael, and we're all on the same page the other day. And I took a picture of it so that I could.
Am I on?
Are you on it? I don't remember. I'm gonna have to look. But go to iTunes and find the shows. And you, if you're not on personal journals, I think you should be, Matt. So
I
don't know what you're listening to.
So, comedy.
Okay, well, you might want to change it to personal generals, because I think you will get more subscribers that way, and I also think that the more reviews you get, the better it'll be for you. So I think you might want to do that. We can talk about that afterwards, off air. But but again, I'd like to thank all of you for listening to the program, because again, it's a great honor to be able to do this show for you, to get great people like Matt on the program, and I want them to, want the stories to be heard. So again, I want to thank you all for being a big part of the show. So thank you for listening to the Ramble Redhead Show. You want to say goodbye to everybody, Matt?
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye, everybody.